We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. CINN stations in all salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Always hope to have Joel Skousen with us this morning, but I don't think Joel's here. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, they didn't tell me you'd called in, so I was about ready to start an hour monologue. Thank you so much for being with us, and you just pick up the story. And for those who don't know, Joel Skousen writes the World Affairs Brief and keeps us abreast of what's going on nationally and internationally every week. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, let's begin with the war on Romney. You'd have thought Romney committed some unforgivable sin by implying that 47% of Americans committed to vote for Obama has a victim mentality and is hooked on entitlements. Is that the best the Democrats can find within all Romney's sound bites to pounce on? Apparently so. While Americans may think it rare that someone secretly infiltrated and videotaped Romney's private comments made to wealthy investors, the establishment spies on everything Romney does. After months of illegal recording attempts, this is the worst they could come up with. I'd consider that a win for Romney, but the media is spinning it into a political death trap for him. After, of course, the specifics are that after a few months ago at a private fundraiser, Romney spoke to supporters and contributors and observed that 47% of Americans do not pay income tax, and thus his call for not raising taxes, though he wants to eliminate some familiar deductions, which amounts to a tax increase, will not resonate with voters in that group. Then he went on to say that this is roughly the same 47% who are dependent on the government for part or all of that, their subsistence, and to that subsistence of food, shelter, and clothing and education, the feds have now added health care. Then he referred to those dependent upon the government as victims. And, of course, then the leftist media essentially had a heyday and all hell broke loose. Well, Judge Napolitano says that the reason all hell broke loose among the media was that Romney spoke a painful truth, and often a painful truth is difficult to accept. Actually, in my opinion, it's only a partial truth and much more complex than can be explained by a victim mentality. And the reason that I say that is that it's really an exaggeration to say that 40% of American people are living off entitlements or have developed a dependency. That's the exaggeration that the government, pro-government people are objecting to. This 47% includes military and government employee pay, which is not an entitlement nor necessarily a dependency if the job they do are within the proper role of government. But there is certainly a percentage of people that is dependent on government. It's what I call the benefit corrupted majority, which is really a problem in society, though technically it really isn't a majority. The percentage of benefit corrupted welfare types totally dependent on government is probably less than 20%, not 47%. But that's enough to be a real problem and certainly can sway an election. As Napolitano says, sooner or later the government will run out of other people's money, and Romney understands that, and that's why he is decrying this. Well, here's the complexity to the situation. It's not just government dependence dependency that supports the welfare state. In fact, a lot of Obama supporters are not on entitlements at all, but support the concept for others as long as government is paying. And I want to emphasize that. People support government programs giving entitlements to others as long as the government makes everybody pay. If it were only the people who supported this entitlement that had to pay, they wouldn't be for it. While Romney exaggerates the characteristics of the 47% who are expected to support Obama as having a victim mentality, he was right about the essence of the problem of entitlements, even though it's far lower than 47%. So to me, most of those who don't claim entitlements do have an entitlement mentality, i.e. using other people's money to fund via government causes that they favor. And this is the portion, you know, these people say, you know, these are the liberals that back Obama and say, we're not entitlement victims. But deficit spending has suckered in millions of these people who have special causes they want supported. But they don't want to pay for it themselves, whether it's foreign aid, funding for education, the Arts Council. They want government to do it for them and protest whenever the conservatives demand that they stop spending other people's money to fund their own charitable sense of giving. And in today's World Affairs Brief that's coming out, which people can get by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, the budget is full of pork for special interest, and I list so many of the cuts in the Ryan budget that were rejected by the Senate, and you would be just astounded at the number of pork barrel legislation. And these are the major ones. It's not talking about the special pieces of, I'm trying to think what they call those in legislation, Stan, that where they add in, you know, special perks for their own, each of their own district. Markups is what they're called, markups. This is not the markups. These are actual funding. And, you know, everything from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, International Fund for Ireland, did you even know such a thing exists? Save America's Treasure Program, the HOPE 6 Program, Amtrak subsidies, U.S. Trade Development, the Woodrow Wilson Center gets a subsidy, the John C. Stennis Center gets a subsidy. There's a Heritage Area Grants, a statutory aid program, you know, beach replenishment, New Starts Transit Program, exchange programs for Alaska Natives and Native Hawaiians, inner city and high-speed rail grants, family Title 10 family planning, Appalachian Regional Commission. I mean, none of these things, Stan, have any constitutional authority whatsoever. And there's hundreds of these programs in the budget that total over $1 trillion in federal spending. Would Romney, if elected, change any of that? Well, I personally doubt it. He wouldn't have the votes in the first place in the Senate. Judge Napolitano, one of my favorites on Fox News, openly wonders the same thing. He says, if Romney's elected president, which Romney will show up for work? Will it be the Romney who ran to the left of Ted Kennedy in 1994, the Romney who governed Massachusetts as Mara Cuomo governed New York, or the Romney who now claims to be a severe conservative? Will it be the Romney who spent the entire presidential primary season assuring conservatives that he would dismantle Obamacare on day one? Or the Romney who told reporters last week that he approves of a limited federal role in managing health care?
We'll be back in a moment, Joel. Just hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Mitt Romney on turning Colorado's economy around.
This president can ask us to be patient. This president can tell us it was someone else's fault. But this president cannot tell us that you're better off today than when he took office.
Colorado is not better off under President Obama. Obama's excessive government regulations are crushing job creators. Thousands of jobs have been lost. Thousands more are threatened. Obamacare, his war on coal, natural gas and oil, and the failed stimulus have hurt Colorado. Colorado is a state of business builders, but under Obama, businesses are afraid to locate here. We need an environment where entrepreneurs can flourish. The Romney Plan for Colorado? Mitt Romney will repeal Obamacare, eliminate excessive regulations, foster innovation, and create over 200,000 new jobs for Colorado.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President, Inc.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Mann, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and talking to us about the upcoming election. And what does Romney really stand for? Would he be better than Obama? I don't think anybody would be better than Obama, but you go right ahead.
Or you mean nobody could be worse than Obama? But anyway, Romney counterattacked this week by resurrecting a statement by Obama, claiming he favors redistribution of wealth, which is true as a Marxist. But the press had only space for the Democrats' retort that the 14-year-old audio clip circulated by the Mitt Romney campaign to attack Barack Obama was deceptively edited, they said. Well, that's been front page on Google News for a day, but in a similar vein, Breitbart.com claims that the full videotape of the Romney victim remarks published by leftist David Corn in Mother Jones magazine was deceptively edited as well to remove remarks favorable to Romney. Did the press pick up on that? Of course not. So it's a one-sided battle here. Nor have the press latched onto Edward Klein's book, The Amateur, and its numerous blockbuster revelations, like Reverend Wright's claim that an Obama ally offered him a bribe of $150,000 to keep quiet and not talk about what he knows about the president. As Rush Limbaugh stated, Klein's got this on tape, a recorded interview with Wright that simply can't be ignored, but it is being ignored. As I've said before, during the Republican primary races, the powers to be do not intend to allow Romney to be elected. They are attempting to control him in case he does. But the establishment is trying once again to sweep Romney off his feet in favor of four more years of Obama. And, you know, there are pros and cons about that, as we've discussed before. One of the problems, if you get someone like Romney elected who compromises so severely in terms of trying to please the establishment, is that he corrupts a lot of the conservative constituents by convincing them, because he's a Republican, that his compromises must be the correct view. And so slowly, through the presidencies of Bush and even Reagan made some serious compromises, your conservatives get used to a great deal more socialism and entitlements than they claim that they're against. Well, let's talk a little bit about the real state of the economy. We see a lot of manipulated figures from various federal agencies, but none of them tell the whole truth, especially relative to unemployment and inflation, which are constantly reported at much lower levels than they really are. Economic figures from the state level tell a more accurate story. Eight states showed actual drops in sales tax revenue this year, and the rest averaged only 2.7% gains. Now, adjusted for inflation, which is 7 to 9%, that 2.7% gain is actually a loss. Thus, no state showed any real growth in income. Ms. Shedlock comments on the latest data from California when he says, a summary of California state finances for August 2012 looks like this. Compared to a year ago, revenues are down, sales taxes are down, and corporate taxes are way down, all by significant amounts. Personal income taxes, however, are up. Now, this is interesting because corporate taxes means that corporations within California have experienced severe downturn in income and thus paying less. But how do we explain then that personal income taxes are up? That's because there's a lot of wealthy Californians making money from investments not directly related to the local or state economy, and that's why their income taxes are up. A lot of people who are insiders who belong to the powers that be in California, and they're part of the speculative economy that is making money. Sales tax collections, therefore, are a direct reflection of consumer spending. When they are down, the economy is really slowing, which I think is a good thing, not bad. You know, people need to be cautious during recessions. They need to be saving rather than spending. And so recessions are a good thing in the long run. As the bubble deflates and businesses adjust to less spending and become leaner and focuses on truly productive goods, an economy hyped up on government spending is not a sustainable economy. So how does this, compare to what Bernanke is doing with as he bails out the bank again? QE3 has nothing to do with short-term, in the short run, with growing the economy. It's a direct bailout of the banks, pure and simple. In an unprecedented and controversial move, the Federal Reserve announced this past week an unending round of quantitative easing of $40 billion a month, that's $10 billion a week, in mortgage purchases to maintain ZIRP, which is zero interest rate policy, until at least mid-2015. The interesting thing about this is not a one-time thing, such as QE1 cost $1.7 trillion, QE2 was $500 billion per year, as you pointed out. And QE3 does not have an exit plan. It could go on indefinitely. That's what's very, very frightening. So no wonder gold and silver are moving up sharply. Bernanke and the Fed are pulling out all the stops to engineer a new round of inflation in a vain attempt to stimulate job creation. Now, in reality, it actually remains to be seen how much of that money going into the banks will get into the real economy. It won't be broadly inflationary for housing unless the banks start lending cheaply again, which is no sure thing. Then they just keep the money to improve their bottom line as they have with all the other bailouts. The problem is the government creation is more a function, or job creation is more a function of fiscal policy, tax and regulation, not monetary policy. The reason unemployment has stayed so high and new jobs have been scarce is because of new government regulations like Obamacare, which just scares employers to death, Dodd-Frank, the minimum wage law, and stringent EPA rules that threaten our energy policy, coal production, everything else. And, of course, there's always the threat of new taxes. So the problem here, of course, is that we've got a problem whereby the government is actually buying all of the bank's bad mortgage-backed securities that can't be sold to investors. In other words, a lot of these have not been liquidated yet. The Fed's attempt to buy these mortgage-backed securities from the banks is a direct bailout. It's intended, theoretically, to free up the market for more saleable mortgage packages. But the Fed is actually making the banks whole and removing the bad paper that keeps banks, despite all the federal stimulus, from lending more. So the Fed's paving the way for yet another housing bubble, and that's why I'm predicting an upswing next year in housing. It will probably be the last hurrah, so be prepared to market or take to market any underwater properties you may have and downsize to something more debt-free. This also means that the Fed is not pulling the plug on the economy and allowing the collapse of the dollar, as so many pundits on the right are predicting. Alex Jones, Steve Quayle, Gerald Celeni, and Doug Hagman, etc. The establishment's getting all the setting up, in my opinion, all of the doomsayers for a fall. With all the Mayan calendar hype, the martial law hype, the currency collapse hype, which has been actively fed to them through disinformation experts claiming to be government insiders, The intention is to make the conspiracy movement the laughing stock of the media or the Internet at the end of 2012 when these collapses don't occur. Now, I'm not saying I'm laughing or poking fun. I'm simply warning that the trap is being set. Obviously, the fundamentals in the economy are ripe for a fall, but the fall is imminent crowd fails to realize how much power the Fed still has to keep things afloat with more monetary injections. As long as they keep inflation at or below 10%, it won't emerge as hyperinflation. And we are seeing that at work right now, where they are successfully managing this inflation below the 10% level. So I think we can draw this out quite a bit more time, for a longer time than people imagine. Now, even more remarkable is the degree to which the markets keep responding to bailouts rather than the danger this money creation portends for the future of the dollar. And in other words, the dollar should be going down in value, the euro should be going down, but after the Supreme Court in Germany approved the bailouts in Europe, the euro went up in value, even though everyone knew it was going to be inflated. The same thing happened with this latest QE3. The markets went up because the markets are responding only to government stimuli, not economic fundamentals. And that can't go on forever, but it will keep bubbles alive for as long as possible. Now, in my final thing on this subject, it's important to understand that the dollar isn't collapsing. All of the currencies are inflating as well as the dollar, and that's why they stay relatively on par. One only goes down or up if it inflates at a much higher rate than the other currencies. Now, the U.S. has the advantage because its monetary base, estimated at some $200 to $300 trillion, is so large, it can inflate in much higher amounts than any other currency and still get away with it. And obviously, that's what they're going to be doing with this $10 billion a week. And as I say, Stan, it's not directly inflationary because this is going, first of all, into the banks' pockets, and it will only be inflationary if the banks start to lend into the general economy, which they have so far not been willing to do. They've just been protecting their own bottom line and investing those money, excess reserves, in interest-bearing accounts with the Fed and others where they get 3% without any risk.
In other words, basically what they're doing is taking this money that they're going to get from the Fed and buying T-bonds so that they can, the Treasury can continue paying its debts. Basically, the Treasury has to borrow over $1 trillion every year simply to make up for the deficit in federal income. 43 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends has to be borrowed. And the banks are going to provide the money so the government can continue paying its debts. And as long as that money isn't actually given out into the economy, why, we'll be all right. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's right. You know, it's kind of a money circulating, its own velocity circulating within the banking and the Fed. So the banks keep making money. But why would they want to go lend out into the economy, you know, with the risk that's involved, if they can make a secure 3% by just sitting on the money with the Fed? And so this kind of money, it keeps circulating. This is why a lot of this money gets into the speculative economy, the stock market, the Forex, and the other markets where they can make, you know, 10%. Why should they go out in the business world where they can make maximum 6 to 8% when they're making relatively risk-free 10% on the speculative markets? And so, I do think, though, that there will be some more money getting into the economy. I think we are going to see housing increase this next year. And the reason I say that is that rentals are an all-time high. And that means there's pressure from new people joining the economy, kids growing up, graduating from college, getting married. They need housing. They're really pushing the rental market high, which means that the next step has to be loosening up the loan market to get those people into housing, and I think that's what we're going to see in the next year. So it will give an opportunity for people who have underwater mortgages right now to unload those houses, and as I'm recommending, to get into more lower-priced housing that is debt-free. Because this won't last. This will be another bubble, and when it comes down again, we'll be getting closer to the war scenario that I'm predicting that will eventually give the Fed the excuse to wipe away these national currencies, form a new world government with a new world currency.
And that's what it's really all about. Everything is motivated by this desire on part of the people with the great wealth to bring about a world government. Go right ahead.
Well, the next subject is going to be the Muslim attacks on the U.S. and some very weird predictions by Gerald Celente, which are just very problematic. But as everyone knows, Muslim radicals were out in force this week attacking U.S. embassies overseas, and the U.S. State Department kept insisting it was simply spontaneous outrage based upon the movie trailer Innocence of Muslims, which was so inept it was laughable, hardly provocative. Even the Libyan government said the attack was not spontaneously the one on Benghazi that killed the U.S. ambassador, but was done by foreign mercenaries brought in by NATO in the liberation of Libya. What this really means is that these are terrorists controlled by Western intelligence agencies and black operations.
And in other words, this is all staged. Basically, we're actually creating the demonstrations against ourselves as a prelude to uniting the Muslim world behind the Muslim Brotherhood. Be back in a moment.
Ladies, this is Danny Golden informing you that heart attacks in women can be different than heart attacks in men. Women having heart attacks will experience nausea, vomiting, indigestion, shortness of breath, or simply sudden and extreme fatigue, but no chest pain. Get emergency medical help and call 911 immediately if you are experiencing any of these symptoms. Pain, pressure, burning or squeezing in the chest, jaw, shoulders, back or arms that last more than 5 to 10 minutes. Unexplained shortness of breath lasting more than 5 to 10 minutes. Sudden severe nausea, vomiting or indigestion. Sudden sweating for no reason. Sudden unexplained extreme fatigue. Loss of consciousness or fainting. Or sudden unexplained panicky feeling of doom. The key, ladies, is to listen to your body. Follow your instincts, and if you experience symptoms that are disturbing to you in any way or even remotely related to your heart, get yourself checked out right away. If your doctor brushes you off, that's a sign you need a new doctor, one who will actually do what is necessary to get to the bottom of your symptoms.
Mitt Romney on turning Colorado's economy around.
This president can ask us to be patient. This president can tell us it was someone else's fault. But this president cannot tell us that you're better off today than when he took office.
Colorado is not better off under President Obama. Obama's excessive government regulations are crushing job creators. Thousands of jobs have been lost. Thousands more are threatened. Obamacare, his war on coal, natural gas and oil, and the failed stimulus have hurt Colorado. Colorado is a state of business builders. But under Obama, businesses are afraid to locate here. We need an environment where entrepreneurs can flourish. The Romney Plan for Colorado? Mitt Romney will repeal Obamacare, eliminate excessive regulations, foster innovation, and create over 200,000 new jobs for Colorado.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President, Inc.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a trial copy of the World Affairs Brief, and hopefully subscribe to it, and also tell them how they can get your excellent books on planning for survival.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Go ahead.
And my other website, joelskousen.com, spelled S-K-O-U-S-E-N, has pictures and a rundown of all of the books that I've published on the subject of preparedness. It's my philosophy that as we fight to restore liberty, we must also prepare in case we lose this battle and there's a takedown by a government and persecution of those who are dissidents. We must be prepared, you know, to survive war and other things that threaten our existence. I've published three books in that regard. One is The Secure Home, everything from A to Z about high security construction for residences and retreats. My most popular book is the third edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which is the book to go to about relocating for security. All new color map edition of every state and union, as well as all the provinces in Canada, and a whole new section on international retreating. And my last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. It's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within an existing basement. And all three of these books can be purchased from Radio Liberty
by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And those books are among some of our best sellers. Go right ahead, Joel.
So we're talking about the Muslim attacks on the United States and how the government is claiming that this is because of this phony film, The Innocence of Muslims, which came out. My suspicions have grown that the movie itself was also an instigated black operation. Nakula Basili Nakula, 55, was a convicted felon and check kiter who supposedly produced this video. And where did the money come from? He certainly didn't have any himself. He was engaged in check kiting schemes and went to prison. Gawker.com reported on the film's porn movie director, Alan Roberts. He initially started this film as with the title Desert Warriors. That was the front name to mask the film's true purpose. Cast members and crew told Gawker.com that Roberts was brought on by producer Sam Basile as he muddled his way through a disorganized three-month shoot. And Alan Roberts' real name is Robert Brunell. The film was done over 3 years ago under pretext of a documentary about ancient Egypt and its warriors, funded by a heretofore unknown Christian organization, which is typical of many these days, putting out hyped-up diatribes on the Muslim threat and encouraged by a flow of information kind of coming out of government sources. The film voices and scripts were then dubbed and changed to its current form, which caused no small amount of anger among the cast, who felt they were deceived in making this movie. The director, Alan Roberts, a.k.a. Brownell, claims he too was fooled by the producer, but then how could he have been fooled after seeing the finished product? If he objected, why did he subsequently agree to edit the obnoxious trailer that was put out? Well, after analyzing all the new details this week about this film's flaky origins and its timing to emerge on September 11th, it was obviously intended, in my opinion, to act as an excuse to trigger attacks that were already planned against U.S. forces. People always buy into what appears to be a spontaneous uprising, but those never happen. Behind the scenes, there are always agent provocateurs and leaders with an agenda goading people into violence. It takes time, transportation, and planning for even the use of makeshift weapons. And how did Nakula get the money if he had to resort to check-kiting to exist? To me, it has all the markings of a typical government operation where they give a convicted felon a deal he can't refuse, go back to jail, or come work with them on a special anti-Muslim provocation. Well, let's review what might be some of the government's purposes relative to this latest provocation. In light of the globalist goal of antagonizing Muslims by a constant military intervention in their countries, this might be an ongoing continuation of that strategy. Two, it might be a prelude to an attack on Iran to ensure there's a general uprising among all fundamentalist Muslims as a reaction, to ensure that the resulting war in the Middle East will be broad and destructive across many nations. Or three, it might be a continuation in the line of periodic false flag terror events that the powers that be need to keep Americans believing in the phony war on terror. It might be all three, in fact. In support of the third possibility, the State Department came out yesterday and labeled the attack in Benghazi as a terrorist act. Because of how much evidence has surfaced relative to government involvement in the 9/11 false flag attack on the World Trade Center, the powers that be might prefer to keep inflaming the image of terror abroad rather than risk running another shoddy terror event at home, where there's so many conspiracy researchers on the lookout for government cover-ups. Well, there was also an amazing amount of coordination of additional provocations in other nations, such as the French series of anti-Muslim cartoons. You don't just produce a schlock movie and two different printed sources of anti-Muslim cartoons to emerge within days of each other without coordination. Yet to the controlled media, it's all just a coincidence and hints that the Muslim world is about to blow up in our face. And of course, that would be a self-fulfilling prophecy after Israel attacks Iran. And relative to that attack, there was an ominous unsigned and unnamed email circulating this week on the net claiming that the Israeli attack is coming within days, but it has all the marks of disinformation. The typical, it is typical of emails intended, to snooker Christians, conservatives. The latest email claims to be from a Christian minister and a brother of a Navy SEAL. But, of course, no names are on this email, and no one can check it out. This smacks of the phony warning in August 2010 about a Christian law enforcement officer supposedly overhearing a man in a FEMA jacket telling the county staff to prepare for a bank holiday. That holiday never happened, and so I'm very, very skeptical of these kinds of unsigned emails about some Christian minister with Navy SEAL background who's claiming that the attack is imminent. Now, I think, in fact, the attack is coming soon, but he gives the impression it's going to be within a few days. Here's the email. It says, "My friend's brother and his family lives in Jerusalem. He's a minister and former Navy SEAL with an office located close to one of Israel's largest underground military bases." Well, there are no civilian offices close to Israel's underground military bases, so that's the first clue there. "Calling last night, which is very unusual, usually it is in an email, to say that he's sending his family back to the U.S. immediately due to what he's seeing occur within the last week and what is being inferred by his military contacts both there and in the U.S. Well, he's claiming too much, really. I mean, ministers don't usually have high-level contacts in either the Israeli ministry or other.
Hold the thought, Joe. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Respect and care for our seniors should be a prime concern for everyone in our community. Shouldn't matter what season it is. Keep an extra eye open for our seniors and check on them regularly, making sure they have what they need. Help with chores, visit a hospital or nursing home. Keep hope alive by letting them know someone cares. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority on the air, wishing everyone a great fall season. Choice City Electric in Fort Collins is proud of our U.S. men and women in uniform. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return home. We honor those who've given their lives to fight terrorism. This message from Choice City Electric in Fort Collins, 132 Commerce Drive. Serving the community for 28 years. Stop in or call 970-493-4077. Visit us online at choicecityelectric.net.
Well, Dr. Dan, back here for our last segment, and Joel is simply pointing out that all of the evidence suggests that our intelligence agencies are trying to inflame the Muslim world against America, and of course trying to inflame the American people against the Muslim world in preparation for some sort of a coming conflict. But go right ahead, Joel.
So we're talking about this email claiming that certain tactical movements of the Israeli military in Israel. And I'm trying to point out this has all the signs of a piece of disinformation. He's saying that he's seeing military movements of the likes he's never seen in his 20-plus years in Israel. Well, he's been there 20 years. He's seen a lot of military movement. It's been looking. It's not something that's very unusual to see a lot of columns of tanks moving around in Israel. What he called a massive deployment and protective tactics of forces is underway. Over the last 2 days, he's seen anti-aircraft missile deployments throughout the Jerusalem area, including 3 mobile units he can see from his office windows. In addition, he's seen very large Israel armored columns moving fast, he says, toward the Sinai, where Egypt has now moved in armor. There are said to be reports of top military leaders meeting with Israel's senior rabbi, which is something that happens preceding every major military campaign. Well, let me analyze this for your audience. In reality, it's not unusual to see large columns of armor moving about in Israel. His description of moving fast would only happen during an actual attack, which hasn't happened. What did happen today is that the Israeli air defense forces struck targets in Gaza and killed 2 Palestinians and injured 1 in the southern town of Rafah, close to the Egyptian border. Tanks were also moved into position because of that operation. As for the missile batteries that have been deployed, those have been deployed for months, but not in and around Jerusalem, as he claims. The use of batteries has been restricted to the protection of military installations, not cities. As for the Egyptian and armor claim, that's an exaggeration, too. Israel, last month, had demanded that Egypt crack down on the rebels that had been attacking Egyptian border guards, and Egypt responded with a few armored vehicles, certainly not any heavy armored tanks. Of course, it is true that Israel is planning to attack Iran. Prime Minister Netanyahu is exaggerating the nuclear threat almost daily by claiming Iran is within 6 or 7 months of building a bomb. Well, even if that were true, which all the experts doubt, after you've built your first prototype bomb, it takes years of testing and adjustments before you have something you can put on a missile and send into the air. I expect the attack in Iran within 3 months, but not because the threat is real. Any major military movement by Israel is preceded by a call-up of reserves, since so much of Israel's military might is composed of reserves, not regulars. However, relative to this rabbi comment, so as not to alert Iran of the coming preemptive strike, Israel will launch its aerial assault on Iran simultaneous with the call-up so as to maintain whatever element of surprise is left after all of the saber-rattling. Well, there are lots of other problem predictions running around the Internet. Part of my job in the World Affairs Brief is to help people understand what's valid and what's not. Pundits like Gerald Salenti of the Trends Journal continue to ride their past reputation, bragging about having called so many things correctly in the past decade. But as any stock predictor knows, past performance is no guarantee of future success. Almost everything Salente has predicted for 2012 is not coming true. He predicted the collapse of the euro. That's not happening. The collapse of the dollar. That's not happening. Severe social dislocation and martial law. That's not happening. His latest prediction is a travesty of imprecise ideas and muddled conclusions. This past week on Alex Jones, he was ranting about the coming international crisis and war with Iran. And he says, if the United States goes to war with Iran, those things aren't going to be worth anything. Life is going to be so miserable. Well, I disagree. Gas prices will be higher, but that's about it in terms of its direct effects on the United States people. Then he goes on a diatribe about military war failures with generals. He says, generals keep fighting the last war. And there's a reason for that statement, because they can't win the war they're fighting, and they have no clue how to fight the next one. Well, those are kind of ignorant generalizations, which shows how he fails to understand the real reason why military mistakes are made. The top generals are political appointees, and that subvert what military professionals under them know are the real threats. The top generals follow globalist orders blindly that lead them into disarmament or wars of attrition that have another agenda entirely. Salente continues, there's going to be a very different war, and it isn't going to be a war of weapons of mass destruction. It's going to be a war of polluted aquifers. Now, where does he get that, Stan? Are the Iranians doing the fracking that's polluting the aquifers? And then he says there's suitcase nuclear weapons that are the threat. He apparently believes the disinformation about lost or stolen suitcase nukes, which has never been true. The triggers have to be renewed every 6 months, and nobody who stole a nuke could do that or assume that it could continue to work, even if they had the codes to set it off, which they don't. It's going to be the worst horror, he says, that science fiction can make up. We already see the technology. It's in place. They are using it on us. Well, what and where, he doesn't say. There are drones watching us, and that's not happening yet. They're preparing, it is true. There is surveillance. That is true. All of the technology is there to wage a war of weapons of mass destruction. Nah, he says, it's not an atomic bomb with ICBMs, so he doesn't really see the Russian or Chinese threat. He says it's not tanks rolling across the plains. It's not jets. It's a different war. Well, my comment is, what else could it be? He's so busy rambling from one thing to another, he fails to tell us what he is claiming. If it's not tanks, if it's not jets, if it's not rifles, if it's not people, what is it? Certainly can't be just polluted aquifers. He says, and they're taking us into this war. The same people who took us to Vietnam, they took us to Iraq, they took us to Afghanistan, and took us to Korea. Now they're taking us into the great world war of the 21st century. Well, that's what he said. Iran, in my opinion, is not going to be World War III. His entire rant is confusing and full of hype and almost not worth commenting on, except that it gets so much airtime every week. And most of that's on Alex Jones, who doesn't counter his guess, even when he might disagree. But let me make one thing clear. The reasons for sabotaging the war in Vietnam, which was to destroy America's will to fight wars to contain communism, is totally different from the reason the globalists are taking us into Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran, which is antagonizing the Muslim world and depriving China of oil. Yes, it may be the same neocons doing it, but it's not the same agenda. And Salente obviously doesn't really understand what the global...
Joe, we'll have to continue next month. God bless. Talk to you later.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife, Danny, and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold than silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Peace Network, and basically we're moving into some very, very dangerous times, first of all. Of course, what happened on September 11th, 2001, was totally contrived. They killed almost 3,000 Americans. This wasn't the terrorists that did that. This was our own invisible government. All you need to do is watch Building 7 to come down. You know that it was a controlled demolition. If you watch the Twin Towers come down, you notice the top floors of the buildings vaporize before the rest of the building collapses. How do you vaporize, you know, 20 or 30 stories of a steel-reinforced building? Well, you have to have very powerful explosives to do that and to create all those clouds of dust, because you vaporized the cement. In fact, they vaporized almost 1,000 of the victims that they killed that day. No trace of their bodies has ever been found. And you need to get the DVDs that we carry by the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We have two of those DVDs. You need to watch them. You need to understand they murdered them. They murdered the American citizens to take us into a war with Afghanistan and into a war with Iraq. But now they're planning on another war, and there's going to be a war between Israel and Iran. What will happen to America? Will we be drawn into the war? I think we are going to be. How bad will it be? I don't know. It could be like all the other wars. We just sit back and watch a few thousand or a couple of million people die, or maybe this one will involve us. Oh, I do have an amazing book. It's called Petrus Romanus. It's written by our friend Tom Horn. It based on prophecies that go back, some of them 900 years, the Hindu prophecies, the Mayan prophecies, the Aztec prophecies, the ancient Jewish prophecies, certain Protestant prophecies. It's a book well worthwhile reading, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But believe me, everything going on today is all planned, is all orchestrated. First of all, it's planned by the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. But it's also been planned from a spiritual point of view, because there are powerful spiritual forces at work, both good forces and evil forces. And we seem to be coming to a climax in the very, very near future. The book, Petrus Romanus, the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVDs on what happened on 9/11, put out by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Get them, read them, and then make preparations. Hopefully nothing's going to happen, but be prepared for serious, serious consequences and the end of the world as we've known it. I hope it does come to pass. I don't know what's going to happen, but you want to be prepared for all eventualities. And then if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty maintain our network of stations throughout the world, we'd love to hear from you. Hopefully you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Don't forget, we're putting on an all-day conference on the 21st of October. Starts at 8:15 in the morning. It'll go till 6 in the evening. We're serving lunch. you're going to have reservations, and if you need hotel reservations, why, of course, we'll let you know where the hotels and motels are locally. We have great guests coming. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. It was great being there in Denver last weekend. Enjoyed meeting so many of you. Well, until Monday when we'll be back again once again. Start to stand goodbye and may the Lord be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile.